أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن كادوا ليفتنونك عن الذي أوحينا إليك لتفتري علينا غيره، وإذا لاتخذوك خليلا. ولولا أن ثبتناك لقد كدت تركن إليهم شيئا قليلا. إذا لأذقناك ضعف الحياة وضعف الممات ثم لا تجد لك علينا نصيرا. وإن كانوا ليستفزونك من الأرض ليخرجوك منها، وإذا لا يلبثون خلافك إلا قليلا. سنة من قد أرسلنا قبلك من رسلنا، ولا تجد لسنتنا تحويلا. أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر، إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك، عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا. صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Allah Azza wa Jal in verse 73 of Surah Isra mentions, وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ. They had begun to turn you away from what we have revealed unto you, so that you may attribute something else to us. وَإِذَا لَتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا. They would have taken you as a friend. وَلَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. If he had not kept you firm, you could have inclined slightly towards them. إِذَا لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلِيْنَا نَصِيرًا. In that case, we would have let you taste a double punishment in this life and after death. They would not have found any assistant for you against us. The circumstances upon which these couple of verses were revealed has been mentioned by Ibn Abi Hatim in Ruhul Ma'ani's Kitab, Allama Alusi's Kitab Ruhul Ma'ani. Hazrat Jubair bin Nufair rahimahullah reports that the Quraysh approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him that if he wanted the Quraysh to be closer to him, then get rid of these underrated Sahaba, these poor Sahaba that are with you, get rid of them. No, meaning our class is high. I mean, we're not going to come to you, we're not going to get closer to you. Get these poor underrated Sahaba out of the way. Then it also mentions that the Quraysh then asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to replace the verses in the Quran al-Kareem, which talks about punishment and azab, okay, and replace it with verses of mercy and rahmat. Only then will we follow you, Rasulullah. People have that sort of claim even nowadays as well. Take these verses out, take these verses out, take these words out. So obviously, whatever incident it may have been due to the background of the revelation of these verses, because it was contrary to the Sharia, and therefore Allah Ta'ala made it very clear that we are not going to change no verses. We do not change our laws and ahkam for anyone. And Allah Ta'ala kept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam firmly on the truth, and did not even sway away even a little bit. Then Allah makes it clear that had Rasulullah inclined towards the mushrikeen, then obviously Allah Ta'ala would have been upset as well, and he would also be punished as well. Allahu Akbar. So basically, this verse serves to warn the Muslims of the consequences that they would suffer if they were fall into such a trap of the kuffar and the mushrikeen. So if they came to you and said, change this verse of the Quran al-Kareem, change that particular verse of the Quran al-Kareem, change this law of Islam, and if we incline to a chalo muhabbat ke waste, this, that, on the name of unity, we'll start changing the verse of the Quran, Allah says, then beware of severe punishment. Beware of severe punishment. That shows that the sunnat Allah, the laws of Allah, they cannot change. The Quran Kareem cannot be altered and changed. The laws of the Quran Kareem cannot be changed. Quran Kareem is there for right until the day of Qiyamah. Somebody buy? Basically, we have to change for the Quran. The Quran will not change for us. We have to change for Islam. Islam will not change for us. The same principles of the Quran will last right until the day of Qiyamah. Somebody buy? Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes a mention. وَإِن كَادُوا لَيَسْتَفِزُّونَكَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ لِيُخْرِجُوكَ مِنْهَا وَإِذَا لَا يَلْبَثُونَ خِلَافَكَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They were close to uprooting you from this earth, to remove you from it. If this had happened, only a few of them would have remained behind you. سُنَّةَ مَنْ قَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ مِنْ رُسُلِنَا. This was the practice of our messengers that we sent before you. وَلَا تَجِدُ لِسُنَّتِنَا تَحْوِيلًا. You will not find any change in our practices. Imam Qatada rahimahullah, Imam Mujahid rahimahullah, great commentators of the Holy Quran, report that mushrikeen actually intended to forcefully expel Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, drag him out, torture him, and like that take him out of Makkah al-Mukarramah. However, Allah's planning was different, subhanallah. And Allah intended that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrate peacefully with Allah's permission. So he mentions here that if they had attempted to forcefully remove Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala would have caused them to perish in the punishment. So if they had done that, then Allah Ta'ala would have punished them immediately. Allah Ta'ala granted a promise to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you from the people. Allah will protect you from the people, subhanallah. And that's how what happened, that they were surrounding the house. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to sleep on his bedding. To sleep on his bedding, subhanallah. What an honor for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Allah to have the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we begin, ajib. And then when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, Allahu Akbar, Prophet sallallahu told, get a bit of mitti and soil and throw it like that. They were all blinded and they could not see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing through, and very peacefully and calmly Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed through them. Subhanallah. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes a mention. Aqimi, that shows as well, once you get the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no one can harm you. No one can harm you once you get the help and the assistance of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What attracts the assistance, the help of Allah? The life of amal, the life of good deeds, life of tawakkul, life of taqwa. That is what brings the help and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's help and assistance does not come on gunagar, on sinners, on disobedient ones. Allah's help does not come. Anybody? Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes a mention, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Allah says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ, establish salah, لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ, from the setting of the sun, إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ, until the darkness of the night, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ, as well as the fajr salah, إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Indeed, the Fajr Salah is attended. Allah Ta'ala makes a mention here that establish Salah from the setting of the sun until darkness of the night. The Arabic word Duluki Shams refers to either the setting of the sun or the time when the sun has passed its meridian, meaning afternoon, basically. Okay? While Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an have adopted the second meaning, meaning either it means that maybe just after Zawal, basically. Anyway, other Sahaba have other views as well. And according to Mufradat al-Quran, the word Ghasaqul Layl refers to both the beginning of the night as well as to the later as well. More intense darkness of the night. So the beginning of the night could be Maghrib Namaz, that's when the beginning night. And the intense darkness of the night could be midnight or later on in the night. Many different interpretations are mentioned. If the first word is interpreted as the time when the sun passes its zenith, and the second word is interpreted as the later darkness of the night, then the verse would denote all four salahs from Zuhr until Isha Namaz. And the next part of the verse specifically mentioned the Fajr Salah, therefore the verse commands the performance of all five namazes. Allah commands that this Salah also be established. The Salah of Fajr is termed as the Quran of Fajr, Why is it termed the Quran of Fajr? Because the longest recitation of Quran Kareem takes place in this salah. Right? That's why it's called Quran al Fajr, referring to Fajr namaz. Why the longest recitation? And it's a sunnah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the long surahs in the Fajr salah. So if you're hoping for Qul al-Falaq and Qul al-Nas, anybody need to go to work? Anybody? We follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also mentions here, in the Qur'an al-Fajri kahana mashhuda. Indeed, the Fajr Salah is attended. Allama Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah reports that Rasulullah explained this verse to mean, subhanallah, that the angels of the day and the angels of the night attend this namaz. Any? The shift change. There's a shift change. So when the shift change, they both meet each other. And they both meet each other in Fajr namaz. And both are present and listening to the Fajr namaz. So how lucky are those people who get the tawfiq to perform Fajr namaz? Because they are Allah with the participant of angels and farishta. Subhanallah. And that shows the greatness of the Qur'an Kareem, because they are also here to listen to the Qur'an Kareem, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have that love to listen to the kalam of Allah. Especially in the morning. Morning is the time for tilawat. Morning is the time for zikr. That is the best time. Because throughout the whole day we have so many other commitments, so we get interrupted, disturbed, the focus is not there. But the morning time is full of barakah. That's why we should engage that time in zikr of Allah, the tilawat of the Quran Kareem. That brings a lot of barakah and blessing in the masjid as well, obviously, but in the house of, in our own homes as well. In our own homes, there should be tilawat of Quran. There was a time that no one would have breakfast until the tilawat of Quran would take place in our homes. Our elders, they may not have that much knowledge, but I tell you this, they are very practicing in the amal, in the routine, in the ma'mulat. Then in the morning, soon as they wake up, subhanallah, the whole women folk at home as well, the children at home as well, they recite the Quran Kareem. Recite the Quran Kareem. Slowly, slowly, unfortunately, that is all going away from our homes. Going away from our homes. And then we complain that we don't have pious children anymore, this, that, whatever, is because we have not created that environment. So it's very important to create an environment of recitation of the Quran Kareem. Abu Huraira narrates Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angels of the day and the night alternate each day. They all gather during the time of Fajr and Asr Salah. And when the angels who were with man during the night ascend to Allah, he asked them, despite possessing more knowledge than anyone and them as well, in what condition had they left his slaves? They replied that they left them while they were performing Salah, and they found them the day before while performing Salah as well. So Allah gets very, very happy. Basically, this verse encourages people to sacrifice the sleep to be present with the angels. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ. In a portion of the night, perform the salah of tahajjud. نَافِلَةً لَكْ, that is extra for you. عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Soon your Rabb will accord to you the maqam mahmood. The literal meaning of the word tahajjud is to leave one's sleep after a while. Meaning performing any act of worship during the night holds extreme virtue, even if it is performed before sleep as well. So if you cannot wake up for tahajjud, perform the, because tahajjud starts after Isha namaz. Once you pray your Isha namaz, tahajjud starts. So pray your 2 rakat nafil, 4 rakat nafil, 6 rakat nafil, 8 rakat nafil before going to sleep, nothing wrong. But the best is when you go to sleep and when you can wake up. Anybody? Ha. The performance of tahajjud was a regular habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At times he would waken several times during the night to perform the tahajjud prayer. So the verse addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentioned that the tahajjud salah is extra for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, some ulama are of the opinion that it was farz only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one else. And they maintain the word extra means that it was an additional salah over and above the normal 5 salah that are farz for the, that are incumbent for the rest of the ummah. Other ulama state the verse addressed the entire ummah, although the mode of address seems specific to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is noted in numerous other verses of the Quran Kareem. They say that the tahajjud salah was initially first for entire ummah and was later made nafil for all except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And according to many, this compulsion remained upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the death as well. So the tahajjud remained first upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until the death. Okay. However, some also say that it was lifted from him as well. Khair. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that remain steadfast upon performing salah at night, meaning tahajjud salah, because it was the habit of the pious people before you. If you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wake up for tahajjud namaz. Anybody? Only those people are wake up for tahajjud namaz who have extreme love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody? Ah. All the pious mashayikh and akabir, always ma'amul routine, wake up for tahajjud salah. Anybody? If you want our du'as to be accepted, then jawfil layl, wake up for tahajjud salah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar reports that Rasulullah said that Allah loved the salah and fasting of Dawud alayhi salam the most. He would sleep for the first half of the night and then awaken for salah during the next third of the night. Thereafter, he'd go back to sleep for the remaining sixth of the night and also fast on every alternate day. So one day he won't fast, one day he would fast. One day he won't fast, one day he won't. He will fast. Ajeebu ghareeb. And Amr ibn Abbas narrates that Rasulullah said that a person rose closest to Allah during the last portion of the night. So last portion of the night we wake up for tahajjud. That's why one hadith was asked, which du'as were most accepted to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Prophet replied, those du'as that were made during the last portion of the night and the du'as which are made after farz namaz. People have a habit of not making any du'a after farz namaz. It's a hadith. This is a time to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ask from Allah. Allah loves those who ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It increases your connection with Allah. There's one great scholar, Ajib Ghareeb, that he used to always wake up for tahajjud and make long du'as for about an hour, 2 hours, Allahu Akbar. And it was famous that whatever du'a he was never accepted. And whatever du'a he made, it was never accepted. So someone asked him, he goes, every du'a, what's the point making du'a? He's never accepted. He goes, bhai, I wake up for du'a because subhanAllah, I love conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I wake up the tahajjud and make dua because I love conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah accepts, that is a bonus. And if Allah accepts, that is a bonus. I just get so, you get a buzz, you know, they get high just by talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody? That's like ashik mashuk base. Anybody, if you love someone, you talk all night, you got nothing better, you're still talking anyway. You're not requesting them anything, but just to talk with them, it creates so much love and warmness in the heart. They are such pious people. Just by making dua, just conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it increases the iman, subhanallah, increases the love even more. And this is, anybody? Main thing is, I heard the other day, mashallah, from a great scholar, he said, if you have Allah in your heart, that is the most important thing. Once you get Allah in your heart, then your salah becomes pleasurable, then your du'as become pleasurable, then you don't feel a burden in your du'a, then you don't feel a burden in your salah, then you don't feel a burden in tilawat of Quran, then you don't feel a burden in the zikr of Allah. In every good deed, you get pleasure. Why? Because you've got Allah in your heart. And because we have Allah in our heart, then everything that is pleasing to Allah is pleasing to you. May Allah give us the tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك